any of you don't know, is one of our deacons, chief cook and bottle washer, so to speak, in this place. He kind of does a whole lot of things. And I bear with me for just a moment because I have to put on my special Sunday go-to-preaching glasses, as I call them, because my regular glasses are trifocals, and they mess me up. I lose my place. I sometimes miss a step going up and down stairs because of trifocals. They're helpful, but they're a little bit dangerous at times. Well, again, welcome here on this beautiful Mother's Day. And yes, today we have a Mother's Day message. And it is good to see so many faces here in the house of the Lord this morning. Well, as you know, Mother's Day, maybe you don't know, Mother's Day was officially decreed in this country by President Woodrow Wilson a long time ago. In the UK, as well as much of other Europe, other places in Europe, since maybe the 1600s, Mother's Day's history there, and Mother's Day was placed literally as the fourth Sunday of Lent. Here, it's the second Sunday of May, officially. There's a long history of setting aside a special day to honor mothers. Well, while Scripture does not set aside a specific day to honor mothers, as you will see this morning, Scripture very definitely exalts mothers as a place of honor. So I want to begin motherly reflections of God. Way back in Genesis chapter 1, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Like God, man has an intellect, a moral nature, the power to communicate with others, and an emotional nature that transcends instinct. We bear the image of God, male and female. We are, unlike the animals, we are worshipers. In fact, it has been shown by sociological studies, anthropological studies across the globe, that almost without exception, across the globe, every single society worships something, or perhaps several somethings. We are designed to worship, and God created us that way. We are designed and created by a God that left nothing to chance. He is sovereign. Everything that is part of us is designed to be part of us, the way he originally created mankind. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God, it has been said by Greg Kokel, the founder of standtoreason.org, one of my favorite websites, that the Bible is about rulership. It's an interesting take. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but that the Holy Bible is about rulership, speaking of God's rulership. But at the same time, created in the image of God, we are to be reflections of God, we are representatives of God, and we are to rule over the creation as stewards of God, and this is what this is speaking of. And first and foremost, up front, God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." He created us, man and woman, for the purpose of procreation. The purpose of propagation of the species. But it's a whole lot more than that. But to be fruitful and multiply means, quite frankly, as simply as that, but to be fruitful also has a spiritual component to it. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, the man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. This verse sits right in the middle after the fall from grace. This is at the point where God is about to clothe them in animal skins because they have eaten of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They have fallen from their graceful position. but yet God is about to clothe them in animal skins, which is symbolic, looking forward, a type, if you will, of us being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And now, before this, it was man, Adam, Adama, and woman. She's called woman because she is created. God creates her by taking, a rib out of Adam's side. And woman is created from man. So you have man and woman from man because she was the mother of all living. You know that this is a statement of faith from Adam? No child up to this point has ever been born. This is the very first man and the very first woman. And yet Adam, from faith, knows that Eve will be the mother of all the living. So when we celebrate Mother's Day, it is right that we remember the very first human mother. We skip forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we read, "For as the woman originated from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God." Again, created in the image of God, but God created us male and female to bear the image. Males bear the image of God, females bear the image of God, and of course today it's Mother's Day, so we're going to be looking a little more closely at how women and mothers bear the image of God. So it is noted here, and this is stated here for a very simple reason, that we cannot exist without each other. Without the male and female pairing, the husband and wife pairing, we as a species would go extinct. We need each other. Not only that, but God created, it goes deeper than that, and I won't get into all of it this morning, but we are created, the man needs a woman. The woman needs a man if we are going to propagate a species. If we are going to be an earthly picture, an earthly image, like God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but one in essence and in nature. Human beings are created spirit, soul, and body. But like there is a union within the divine Trinity, the earthly image of the union and of the Trinity is marriage. That's part of the picture. Marriage, communion, unity, the two shall become one, just as God is one. And it all originates from God. So we go to where God begins Mother's Day. Only every day is Mother's Day. And by the way, any of you here, I'm going to stop the sermon for just a second here because I want to get your attention for just a second. For any of you who still have living mothers, who have your phone on you right now, if you have not already wished your living mother a happy Mother's Day, I would like you to take that phone out right now and send her a text and say, "Happy Mother's Day. The pastor just said in the middle of his sermon to send you a happy Mother's Day message." But don't reply for about another 25 minutes. Truly, we are to honor our mothers. And Exodus 20, verse 12, this is part of the 10 suggestions. Part of the 10, what? Commandments? Oh, commandments? Is that what that word was slipping my mind there for a minute? And you know that this is the first commandment with a promise, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6. And the promise is right there on the end. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord gives you. Let me ask you something. Do you want your days to be prolonged? That's a nice little incentive, don't you think? maybe some of you don't want your days prolonged. I saw one head shaking no back there. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord gives you. Leviticus 19:3, and this is just the first half of the verse, because I want to emphasize this. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. You see, this is actually stepping up honor a notch to revere. You understand that? Revere is more intense. Honor is an action. You honor your mother with your words. You honor your mother with your actions. You revere your mother with an attitude. With an attitude. And this isn't just your mother. This is to revere all mothers. You understand? It says to revere his mother and his father, but this applies. You are to revere all mothers. Okay, here's an example, by the way. King Solomon. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, and the king stood to meet her. He stands in reverence. He's living out this command in Leviticus. The king stood to meet her and bowed to her and then sat on his throne. Then he had a throne set up for the king's mother, also known as the queen mother, especially in the southern kingdom, as well as in England, as we know, the queen's mother, So he is showing reverence. She sits on his right hand, a place of honor. It's interesting, if you read this section of Scripture, you'll see that this is in the midst of something that is quite confrontational. She's coming to speak for Adonijah, who essentially wants to be the king. She's trying to speak for him. A mother's love speaking. She doesn't realize that because of Adonijah's insistence on taking over or using her to speak, that Adonijah will be no more very shortly after this, because he's essentially committing treason. But still, in the love of the mother, she is there to speak, and Solomon shows her honor. And we, speaking of Solomon, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not ignore your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful wreath for your head and necklaces for your neck. Listen to your mother. Do not ignore your mother's teaching. I probably don't need to explain that, do I? Do not ignore your mother's teaching. Verse 9, for they are a graceful wreath for your head and necklaces for your neck. That's a poetic way of saying that you will be blessed. It's a beautiful adornment of you if you listen to the teaching of your mother. One more time. Okay, we might have a dead battery here, Don. Oh, there we go. I guess I just need to push a little harder. Proverbs 23. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Do you know how to make your mother happy? Do you? I ask you this. I pose you this question. Would your mother, and I'm going to come back to this question in a little bit, would your mother rejoice if you dedicated and committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a thought. Have you done it yet? Would you consider doing it today if you haven't? It's a thought. As an eagle stirs up its nest. Oh, by the way, let me stop here before I read this. God goes so far in his holy scriptures to exhibit, by way of this imagery that we're going to read in a few verses here, what we would call feminine or perhaps motherly attributes. You see, man and woman, father and mother, are created in the image of God. And he uses, this is in the original Hebrew. Hebrew, in case you don't know, is a very pictorial language. There's a lot of imagery in Hebrew. And this is no exception, along with some other verses that I'm going to share with you. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, he spread out his wings, he caught them, he carried them on his pinions. This imagery, by the way, I want to give it some context. In this passage, I'm reading of the next one. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. This is about the birth and the childhood of the nation of Israel in this passage. After the Exodus from Egypt, God guided, instructed, and preserved his people with the love, like the love of a mother eagle. You understand the mother picture here. This is an attribute of God. This is an action of God. So there's a picture of God. If you ever think of God, I know for a long time I did, I thought of God as this mean, I'm just waiting for you to do something wrong, boy, and then pow, I'm going to get you. And that's wrong. That is absolutely wrong. This is an accurate picture of a God who loves you. Again, in Psalm 22, now this is one of the messianic psalms. You may be familiar with this psalm, the first few words of this psalm, Jesus quoted on the cross just before he gave up his spirit and died on the cross. He said, what did he say? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting the first few verses of this messianic psalm. That is not the reason why I'm bringing up these verses today, but the messianic psalm, Psalm 22, all of Scripture is holy ground, but Psalm 22 is especially holy ground. But I want you to know here, as before we read this, that there is another image, another picture of God being shown here. The psalmist is remembering, having a memory of his childhood, and God in this picture, Yahweh, as he might say, if he were to say it out loud, is depicted as a midwife. As a midwife. Did you know that? It's not explicit in the scripture, but he is depicted as a midwife here. So let's read this. Yet you, notice this is a translation, by the way, that I use because it capitalizes all the personal pronouns of God so that you can see it clearly and unmistakably, so that you won't miss it. And I don't want you to miss this. He says, yet you, speaking to God, are he, speaking to God, who brought me forth from the womb like the midwife, who made me trust when upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. God, as a midwife, delivering you into and through this difficult life, delivering you to the breast of your mother. Isaiah, the prophet, speaking. He is looking forward. He is forecasting. He is prophesying forward to a time that has not yet come, where the Jewish people will be in captivity in Babylon. It hasn't even yet happened, and yet in the midst of the prophecy, God speaks through him these words. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I, God, you can put in there, will not forget. Even though God is going to be, they're going to be in the midst of judgment from God for the Jewish nation's sin, they will be in Babylonian captivity. He says, even then, I will not forget you. I cannot forget you. like a mother, like a nursing, who has a nursing child, cannot forget you. This is an attribute of God, a motherly attribute of God. Do you get the picture, folks? Say amen if you get the picture. God's love for us is fervent. It is not to be taken lightly. This is a picture of God. Isaiah 66:13 continues on the theme. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Speaking to the end that they would return, the end of the captivity, where they would return to Jerusalem. And now we come to Jesus speaking, hence the colored words. Jesus saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Whenever there's a repeated segment of words, holy, holy, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it means strong emotion. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who have been sent to her. Notice the exclamation point. That wasn't in the original, but that is added to drive home the point to you English readers. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. This is what God wants from us, to draw near to him, to, as we are being drawn near to him, we can, it, like in this imagery, can be gathered under his wings. This is, I say, a motherly picture. This is an attribute of God as well. Here on Mother's Day, we are honoring and revering mothers, but we're also honoring and revering the God whose image we see in these motherly attributes. In Luke 1, 46 through 50, and Mary said, the mother of Jesus, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondservant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman says, her children will rise up and call her blessed. For the mighty one, that's God, has done great things for me. This, by the way, is a reflection of Hannah's prayer back in the Old Testament. You can Google that and find it pretty quickly. And holy is his name, and his mercy is to generation after generation toward those who fear him. His mercy is to generation after generation to who? To who? To those who fear him. Which means to those who do not fear him, not so much. And now we come to our final verses this morning. Jesus speaking. The first verse we are about to read is the most famous verse probably in the entire Bible. You may read with me if you will, or just follow along. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. He could have sent Jesus into this world the first time around to judge the world. Do you know that? He could have done so. But because he loves his people, like the imagery shows, like a mother loves her child. Those whom God calls to Christ for salvation and sanctification and glorification in Christ, He calls like a mother would call the child to supper, like a mother would call their child in before it gets dark, before the street lights go on, if you live in a place with the street lights. God is calling, and he's calling you home. When you think of home, you think of mother. I want you to think that God, realize that God is calling you. If you are already in a relationship with God, he is still ever calling you. He is ever speaking to you. He wants to draw you nearer to him. God is calling you. And I'm asking you this question this morning. Is there any greater gift you can give to your mother today than to commit your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I think that is about as good as it gets. Can you, will you, commit your life to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or maybe when the service is over, text your mother and say, I have recommitted my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or maybe say it to her face to face. Or maybe say to God in your prayer, tell my mom I'll be coming home. Let's close in prayer and have a wonderful Mother's Day. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask, Father, that you take these words, the words of your Holy Scripture, and plant this seed in the lives of every single person hearing and or seeing this message today. I pray, Father, for your glory and for your honor and the honor of mothers everywhere today to be tied directly to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ our Lord, that we, would whatever we set our hands to do today, would do it as unto the Lord, honoring our mothers and mothers everywhere around us. I ask this, knowing full well that I have prayed the will of God, and many have prayed with me. And your word says that the fervent, effectual prayer of his righteous people avails much. And I thank you, Father, already in advance for answering this prayer. God bless everyone who hears this message. In Jesus' name, amen.